is from Nehemiah, chapter 8, the first four verses, and then 8 to 12, and can be found on page 492 in the church Bibles. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So, on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. The Levites read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And this morning's gospel reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, reading verses 34 to 35, and if you're following it, it's on page 993. So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "At that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do sit down.
Good morning. Wow, lots of people. There must be an all-age service next. I'd like to take you back to August this year. Do you remember the summer? I want to tell you about my holiday. But I'll do the jokes, you can laugh, but that wasn't a joke. My wife and I, who's, because there's an hour extra in bed, has been made the 9 o'clock service, has we enjoyed what we called a European river cruise. We travelled from Amsterdam in the Netherlands to Budapest, notice how I pronounce that, Budapest, in Hungary. We went down the Rhine, the Main, and the Danube. We went through 68 locks, which is a great experience. If you've been to these locks, they're massive, some of them. And we had superb cabins, or as we were supposed to call them, staterooms. The food and wine were amazing. There was so much of it, you could have drunk and eaten yourself into quite a state. And we were kept safe. There's Joy with her orange life jacket. They were under our beds in case we sank in the middle of the night, and which we didn't sink, by the way. And we visited cathedrals. That's Cologne. In Cologne Cathedral, we were told, are the bones of the three Magi. I wasn't convinced. We also have a wonderful, stunning view. That's a view down the Rhine from above. Just amazing, beautiful. There were castles stuck on top of hills, how they built them. Goodness knows, nobody knows. Oops. And there were vineyards at incredible slopes. We were told that people had to tie themselves at the top to come down to pick the grapes. It was so, they were so steep. And there were lovely towns. This is a German town, I don't know what it was called. Can you remember? No, we can't remember. Took a picture of it. It was wet, but it was still attractive. And there's my wife. An unusual sight, relaxing. She doesn't do that very often, but she's relaxing in our stateroom. But best of all was the fact that we'd made friends. There was an interesting, the dining arrangement was that you didn't have set seats. You sat wherever you wanted to. Tables of six and eight. There was no escape. The Brits, most of the Brits on this trip stayed with each other. Boring. We met so many Americans. Here's some of our American friends. And again, at breakfast. And again, after an evening meal. We made such good friends with these Americans that we, hopefully in August next year, we're going to go to Pennsylvania and North Carolina to stay with them. So we're looking forward to that. But you may say, quite rightly, what on earth has that got to do with 9 o'clock sermon? You know, anybody can show their holiday photographs. Well, hopefully you'll see that there's a link. I've got 3 points this morning, and the 3 points are illustrated by three experiences we had on our trip. But I want to put some background to this Nehemiah reading. This we're looking at this morning, Nehemiah. Sorry, I should have said that. And the mighty Babylonian army had left the people of Israel crushed and carried them off into exile. And they'd left Jerusalem as a pile of rubble. 128 years later, a few Jews returned with the aim of rebuilding the walls. Nehemiah, central character in this book, started out as a government worker for a foreign king, became a building constructor. And his partner, Ezra, was someone who was a scholar and teacher who taught the scriptures. And despite some serious opposition, the walls are rebuilt and many of the Jews returned from exile. And now it was time for Israel to hear the word of the Lord. So the first point I want to make this morning is that in verse 1 it says, all the people came together as one. We've come together this morning, whether as one, I'm not sure, because we've had a theological debate. We may not be at one, but we've come together to worship the Lord. So let's think about this morning, first of all, meeting together as believers. On our cruise, we quickly realised, because we table swapped, a lot of people were churchgoers, or even Christians, or both. You're never quite sure, are you? Never quite sure. And one of our passengers, a live wire Aussie called Peter Watts Wilson, suggested to a few of us that we meet one Sunday morning. Well, it was only one Sunday morning we could meet in the middle of the cruise. We happened to not be bedocked, but we were sailing that morning. So he approached the authorities on the boat and said, could a few of us meet together in the lounge? Could we have part of the lounge to meet in? It's the first time Viking River Cruise has ever had this request, as you can imagine. They said yes. 190 passengers on board this boat. How many think you turned up for this little informal half-hour service? Over 40. We were quite staggered by that. We wanted to meet together. It was very informal, very non-directive. There was no theological discussions because we'd all been all over the place. But we were able to sing the doxology, read scripture, pray, have a little talk about creation that we were seeing pass by as we were there in this wonderful boat. And it's right for us here in St. Paul's Kingston that we keep meeting together. The writer of the Hebrews says this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Christianity is not a private religion, not a private experience. It's not designed for individuals, it's designed for us together. It's so vital that we meet together, that we are together, that we worship together, that we sing together, that we listen together, that we understand together, we grow together, we debate together, we discuss together. It's important that we do that. I'm not suggesting anybody here is thinking of giving up, but there's a big temptation sometimes, particularly if you're struggling with your health or struggling with life or there are other issues that distract you. Why should I keep coming? Why should I bother? Well, we should bother because it's right and good to meet together. You know, when we meet together, we have Bible readings, we have preaching, We have liturgy, we have songs of worship, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and through them God speaks to us today. And this idea of God speaking to us today in the now is not something new. It's not a new wine idea. I want to read a quote from John Robinson. He was speaking to the pilgrims as they left for America, and he said this: "I am very confident the Lord has more light and truth yet to break forth from his holy word." And that was said in 1619. Even Glyn Macaulay wasn't alive then. That's a long time ago. People were expecting the word of God to be preached, to be spoken about, and to be understood, and to be enhanced by prophetic words and by liturgy and by singing songs. So, first thing from my cruise was, we met together on a Sunday, 40 plus of us, to worship God. Secondly, in this reading from Nehemiah, it says, "Ever the priest brought the law before the assembly. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon." It's got to be 3 or 4 hours, hasn't it? "And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law." They listened attentively. So why did Ezra read for so long? Why did the people listen intently? Because God's word had been neglected and ignored and forgotten for many years. They just got so caught up in their exile, in their captivity by Babylon, feeling so sorry for themselves. They hung their harps on the willow trees. They didn't interact properly. They just lost everything. They lost their faith and their hope. And for us, scripture this morning, this Bible Sunday, as you've heard, is the basis, the foundation of truth. And the Bible reminds us that what God has done and his incredible faithfulness, his love and his mercy. On the first lunch we had on our boat, which was Sunday lunchtime, we just visited some Dutch windmills all over Holland, as you know. We'd come back for lunch. We sat randomly at the table with a couple of Brits. They introduced themselves as from Richmond in Yorkshire. And I just found myself saying, "Oh, I know somebody who used to live there." And they said, "Who's that?" I said, "Well, you won't know him, because he's a church leader." And they said, "Well, actually, my husband was a mayor 2 years ago. He's on the council. We know everybody." So I thought I'd test it. "Well, his name's David Rivers, and his wife's called Pat." "We know him," they said. "Assemblies of God Church in Richmond." "What's that to you?" they asked me. And I said, "This is the man who, on 23rd of March, 1963, in the front room of 16 Brett Street, West Bromwich, led me to the Lord. I knocked on his door saying, how do I become a Christian? I'd heard the gospel, I wanted to know what to do. And so Pat and David prayed with me, helped me lead the Lord." Somewhere in my file upstairs in the attic is a decision card. You remember decision cards? I used to sign them, Peter Sanderson and the date. Just a random meeting on a boat in the Rhine, sailing down the Rhine on a Sunday lunchtime, I encountered people who knew David and Pat. And because of that, they told me the church, the name of the church, which is some rather interesting name. And so I emailed them. I said, "Do you remember me from the past, 50 plus years ago?" And of course they remembered me. And he sent me an email this very week. It says, this is David writing, "Pat and I were delighted and thrilled to be in contact at this time. It brought back happy and grateful memories of working of the Lord and a wonderful confirmation of the truth that no labour in the Lord is in vain." They prayed with me, but because they'd moved away to Richmond very quickly, they had no idea what had happened in my life. Didn't know that I'd got ordained and become a church leader and all that stuff. They didn't know that had happened to me. They go on. "It reminds that we are co-workers with him. When you are retired," he says in quotes, they're in their 80s, "it's a special blessing and encouragement to have this confirmed." I want to challenge you this morning. This is the second time in my life I've sought out people from my past to say thank you. The one was Jack Lowe. You wouldn't know him because he's dead now, from Beeston in Nottingham. He was a man who sat in my early days as a pastor and guided me and prayed with me and cried with me and shared things with me that have definitely left a mark on my life. And just before he died, I went to a funeral, sadly, of his own daughter who died before him, to say, "Thank you, Jack, for being faithful." Now to David, I can say, "Thank you." There are people in our lives, your lives, that you might need to contact to find out where they are and say, "Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your love and commitment. Thank you for your friendship." Because we are what we are and who we are now because of that friendship and blessing. So that's 2 points. We're getting there. Number three, scripture shows us the way to live. Verse 8 says, "They read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read." They made it clear. They gave understanding. So clearly taught, clearly understood, the Bible gives guidance. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." And here's my favourite, probably, version of guidance first, because it was given to me when I entered the ministry. And I think I've said this before, but I've proved it to be true on many occasions. When I've turned to the right or turned to the left, there has been a voice behind me saying, "No, this is the way, go this way." So whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." The last full day of our cruise, this is the third and final story. The last full day of our cruise was in Budapest. And the morning was a coach and walking tour around the city of Buda and Pest, because as you know, there are two divided by the Danube. And it was 4 hours. So I went to the organiser and I said, "I don't think I can do 4 hours. Can I do 2 hours and get off?" And they said, "Yeah, we'll drop you off by the river, by the, one of the bridges." So I did a bit of walking and driving. So I said, "Well, was it Buda or Pest, the first part?" I can't remember. Okay. It's deeply ingrained in our memory. You can see this holiday. The details are gone, but the memories are there. And so they dropped me off by a bridge. I walked down to the Danube. I turned left, looking for the Viking River Cruise boat. And I walked past piers, past boats, and I walked past piers and boats, and I walked past more piers of boats, until I kept walking, and there were no more piers, and there were no more boats. And either the Viking River Cruise had disappeared, or something was wrong. So I retraced my steps. Remember, I'd done this to avoid walking. I'd been going for 3/4 of an hour, still haven't found, got back to the bridge where I started, kept going, and eventually found the ship, to my relief. Joy came in because she stayed on the trip, obviously, saying, "What a wonderful trip it was, and you've had a nice rest." Yeah, not really. See, I wasn't listening or asking for any guidance. I knew the way. I was confident. I know where I was going. I was going that way, left. Should have gone right. I knew the way. This challenged me, this scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I found the boat in the end. It took me an hour or so. It was no big deal. I didn't want to walk that much, but it proved I could do it anyway. But I decided I was going to do it my way, not God's way. Life's like that, isn't it? It's only a walk down the river. But sometimes we make major choices in our lives that we don't connect with God first. You know, big choices. We should be saying to God, "What's the right way to go? Left, right, straight on, stop, go forward, go back." We need his guidance. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. So I'd like to close with prayer and look at those three thoughts. So first of all, let's just pray together. Let's go back to meeting together. So many people here this morning. We made a choice to come. We got the clocks right, hopefully, and we're here. And God speaks to us. Father, help us this morning to understand that our Christian faith is not just an individual thing for us as an individual, but we're part of a bigger whole. We're part of the community of the church. We're part of the family of God. We're part of the body of Christ. Lord, if we get tempted to stop coming, if we get annoyed, irritated, or frustrated, or deflected by other things in our lives, help us to choose again to come, to be together, to worship you, to meet one another, to share coffee, to receive prayer ministry, to understand and learn from the scriptures. Amen. And secondly, let's be thankful, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you that you have never let us down. In the good times and the bad times, you hold us. In the good times and the bad times, you love us. In the good times and the bad times, you care for us. You're with us all the time. And also, Lord, we thank you this morning for our friends, our family, those people who have influenced, shaped, developed and patterned our lives. We thank you for them. Some of them have gone now. They've left this world. We thank you for their memory. And for those that we do know and we can contact, help us to honour the roots that you've planted in our lives. Help us to bless these people and encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, Let's admit that sometimes we take the wrong turning. I did in Budapest. I walked in parts of Budapest I hadn't planned to. I thought I knew the way. I was confident in my own decision-making, but I was wrong. Lord, sometimes we've been wrong. We need to admit that. Help us to understand and receive your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy. Help us to trust in you at all times and ask you for the way to go. Lord, help us because we need you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.